I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. In each episode, I go behind the scenes with the writers and actors of the disturbingly dark comedy and chat favorite moments and themes with special guest celebrity fans. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th, with Seasons 1 through 3 available now. Meanwhile, subscribe and listen to Search Party, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench back with you. Toll free 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. And so the last TD was Mac Jones, and he hit Bolden, Slay Bolden, a 5-yarder for the touchdown that made it 45-24 Alabama, an 8-play, 75-yard drive that took 3:53. Now the Buckeyes have the rock again. Minute 25 and rolling in the third, and they're around their own 45-yard line. But it's going to be fourth down for the Buckeyes, and they're short of first down. Day's team already in big trouble, down big, 45-24, about a minute left in the third. Here they are in fourth down. Get it. Boom. Alabama takes over. This game's over. Okay, you can talk all you want about, you know, how many chances are they going to get the ball and a chance to score. I mean, the rest of the way. They got a quarter left, and they just got the ball back, and on their first possession, they go four and out. And now Alabama's got the pill in Ohio State territory, and they just came off another score to Bolden. They score again. It'll be 52-24, and that'll be all she wrote. It already is all she wrote. And a huge tackle by Barmore. A big four-tackle night for him. I mean, they're monsters. I was looking at their offensive line earlier in the game when Harris scored on the fourth down. I mean, they literally have guys up there that look like, I mean, they're like NFL size, without a doubt. I mean, these guys are 325 pounds. They're monsters. Like, they're so enormous, they look like cars. A couple of their linemen are so big. That number 65, Brown, he literally looks like he's the size of a house. He's a brick house. Well, he's a brick. So anyway, I'm still trying to figure out. They're showing when Mac Jones hurt his shin or leg or whatever it was. He was grabbing his shin like he got that bone-on-bone action. Have you ever had anybody like a chick or a kid kick you in the shin, like right on the shin bone or you know, whack into a piece of furniture in a house late at night, and you just get that bone on bone shin action. I got one on the corner of the bed one day. I was like trying to fix something, and I walked around the corner of the bed and I whacked into that brown like bedpost, oh, right in the shin. It looks like Mac Jones has been limping around with that all night, but he's still completing passes left and right. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He just threw a beautiful pass down to the 25. They bring it inside to the 15-yard line. They're in business again, going to the fourth at the Ohio State 15, and it's lights out. Fat Lady's already tuning up to sing. That's how far this game's over. And you can forget about that under, too, because they're going to score again here to make it 52-24, as sure as I'm sitting here. And it was like I said to Joe Lisi earlier in the show. I said, I mean, are they going to put 60 on them? Well, they're definitely going to. I mean, I think they're going to put 59 points on them. They're going to score at least two more. I mean, they're going to score right here, I would think. And then I wouldn't be surprised they did it again. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Of course, our new home on satellite radio, Sirius XM channel 204. It's good to have you with us on SXM tonight. On the bench during the natty, as Alabama is putting it on Ohio State right now, 45-24 at the end of the third quarter, going to the fourth, and they are in business at the Ohio State 15-yard line or so. And they're just going to shove it down their throat and win the national championship, and that'll be that. That'll be what, 9 and 15 years for Saban? I mean, that is crazy, this guy. He's going to have, like, you know, he's going to win another one. He'll have one for every, like a ring for every finger on his hands. This guy makes Brady and Belichick look boring, what he's doing at Alabama. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. And remember, I just laid 8, and I was like, I'll take Alabama Lady 8. Well, that's a done deal. That one's in the bag. You're good to go there. Thank God I've had, just in case, because this one's so bad, I was rocking the Boise, Wyoming game earlier. I don't know. That may not have ended well for me. I hit a bunch of other games tonight, though. But I just wanted to see that. Yeah, Boise blew out Wyoming 83-60. Bradley upset. Not really. They have a better record. They beat Northern Iowa on the road 75-73. Loyola 58-48 on Indiana State. Colorado won at Utah. UConn was my number one play tonight. They beat DePaul and covered the number. They won by 7, and SMU won by 11 over Temple. I think they were laying 11 and a hook, so they lost by the hook. It's crazy. And then as far as the NBA goes tonight, I was watching the Knicks earlier. They got whacked in Charlotte 109-88. We'll break it all down later. Hawks beat the Sixers 112-94. Wizards over the Suns 128-107. Bucks beat the Magic 121-99. Grizzlies by 10 over the Cavs. And right now, Kings up 1 on the Pacers at the half. Raptors up 5.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So they just scored again. It's 52-24. This is unbelievable. Najee Harris, a one-yard TD run. Reichard the kick, 52-24 at the start of the fourth. I mean, you know, when I had Joe on, Joe Lisi was on the show earlier, I told him, you know, he's like, he was obviously trying to get Ohio State on the money line, second half, getting 24.5. I mean, that's not going to matter either. Well, first of all, Ohio State, you know, that's done. That's a done deal. This game's over. Secondly, all that's left is that in-game, you know, number of 24.5. But they're still losing that right now. And I said to him, I said, are they going to put 60 on him? And now I'm starting to think, you know, that they will. That they're going to put 60 on him because there's still 13 minutes left in this game. They're going to get the ball back at least a couple more times, without a doubt. And every time they touch the ball, they score. I mean, they really do. Before that, you had the Slade Bolden catch for a touchdown. And then before that, you got the field goal. I mean, honestly, like, I can't even believe they punted at 35-17. I couldn't even believe that they punted in the game. Seriously. Earlier, you know, the last time Smith scored was when it was 28-17 and a 5-yard TD for Smith. He had 3 touchdowns in the game, left with a hand injury. They showed the guy walking around the tunnels by the locker rooms for the last half hour. He was in the tent for at least 10 minutes. He's done. They had Waddle playing on one leg for some strange reason. I have no idea why he was in the game all injured. I guess the kid wanted to play, but I thought it, you know, was flat-out stupid to put him out there. Jones has thrown for 464 yards and 5 touchdowns, 36-44. Harris has 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Smith, I told you, had the 3 touchdowns. I mean, I've lost track. I have to tell you, I don't know if it's more, because I think it is more impressive what Alabama's doing to Ohio State. That's more impressive to me than, frankly, how bad Ohio State looks, how badly they're getting their ass beat. It doesn't matter. Who's making fun of Notre Dame now? Who's making fun of Notre Dame now when they were getting their ass beat by them? It wasn't as bad as this. They covered backdoor with the 19 and a hug. If you remember, I hit the bet. So at the end of the day, did they not look better than Ohio State? And I thought Notre Dame looked terrible against Alabama. It was like they were sleepwalking. And really, this is what Ohio State did to Clemson. What Alabama's doing to Ohio State tonight. You know, they're humiliating them. And nobody wants to say it, but I am. Ohio State looks like, I mean, they look easier to beat than Notre Dame. I mean, honestly, I mean, they're kicking their ass. This is embarrassing. This is not a national championship game. This is an ass beating. They're getting spanked. I mean, I don't care what they do the rest of the way. They're not doing anything in this game. They have done nothing. What have they done? I have no idea what they're doing. They're still throwing screen passes down 52-24. I mean, he's still throwing, you know, little dump passes underneath. They need big yards. Finally, he threw an 11-yarder. There you go. Congratulations. What a miracle. I mean, the best thing that could have happened to them was Smith getting injured in this game because he would have had 6 touchdowns. And instead, he left the game, and Alabama kept sticking it down their throat with guys like Bolden, Harris, whoever. Now Ohio State has to throw on every single play. Now he hits Olave for another first down. They got to score like immediately. You know what they look like to me? I mean, almost, I hate to say it because I don't want to bring it up, but I'm going to. They look like the Steelers last night. You know what I mean? They're getting their ass beat so bad. They were so down in the game. They were so deep in a hole that they had to throw on every single. He threw for 501 yards and four touchdowns, but he threw four picks, Big Ben. They had to just throw on every down the whole. I mean, they were down so big, they had to do something. That's what's happening here. You know, against Clemson, he threw for 385. Tonight, he's thrown for 159. He's completed 12 passes in the football game. It seems like he's done better than that to me with a couple of plays he's made, a couple of passes he's made, and a couple of runs that he's made. But at the end of the day, his numbers are terrible. You can't even make it up. I mean, I just cannot believe, to be honest with you, I mean, it's really unfathomable that you think of Alabama and what they do in these games, how they destroy everyone. I mean, today on Coast to Coast, we brought up the fact that they weren't in it last year, right? And I was sitting here thinking to myself, I can't even remember them not being in a playoff. I can't even remember them not being in a title game, right? Like, it seems like they're in it every year, doesn't it? Every single year, it seems like Alabama's playing for a national championship. Well, they're going to win the national championship tonight. And like I said, it's another one for Saban, another notch in his belt. And, I mean, he took this guy, Ryan Day, to the woodshed. I don't care what anybody says. You know, it's one thing to be in the game and, you know, you'd be sitting there going, man, they gave it everything they had. They were great. It was a great game. It was close. They had every chance in the world to win the game. You know, they played fantastic. It's been, you know, what an appearance for Ohio State. But you can't say any of that. You can't say any of that. They got their ass beat. They got run over like everybody else that plays Alabama. They were no different. They didn't even look like they should be on the same field with them, if you ask me. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You can say whatever you want. I mean, honestly, when you're getting doubled up, you're getting your ass beat. That's just all there is to it. So let's stop with all this Ohio State stuff with their big seven-game schedule. Let's face facts. Alabama played 12 games. This is number 13. And, you know, what people said, you know, Dabo, he said they didn't play anybody. We played all these games. They didn't have to play any games, and they're playing in the playoff. I think the guy was right. Ohio State, all they had to do was fill out the paperwork and show up. And then look what happened to them. Maybe all those big games would have made them better prepared for this one. Not to say that they wouldn't have won every game they played. If they would have played Michigan, they would have beat them, right? All the games that they didn't play, I think they would have won. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disrespecting them that they're not good. I think they are good. What's even funnier to me is I love this guy, Dave, still coaching. He's still screaming and yelling on the sideline. He's running up and down the sideline. He's yelling and screaming at his players. He's screaming at the refs, screaming at players. Meanwhile, it's like, Ryan, here's a newsflash for you, bro. Game over. It doesn't matter what you do right now. I mean, it is like lights out. The fat lady's singing. You can't tell me that they're not finishing this game off. My God. Like, even the Steelers had a better chance last night when they lost, whatever, 48-37. At least they mounted a comeback. If they would have never punted on 4th-and-1, they might have scored again and been down 35-30. Instead, they made the stupid decision to punt. Where is all these points going to come from in this game? In this smothering? 52-24. Christ, let them score right now. Who cares? You know what I mean? What are they going to do? I mean, how many times are they going to touch the football the rest of the way?
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pharrell on the bench with you. You know, obviously the kid bobbled that touchdown in the corner. It seemed like he bobbled it. Yeah, he definitely was bobbling that ball. That ball moved in his hands and his arms. So that's why they didn't rack it up. I thought they had a touchdown, but they're not going to give him that one. So it's still Alabama with the big lead, 52-24. The touchdown in the corner reversed with a bobble. 8.5 minutes to go. 3rd and 4 Buckeyes at the 21-yard line of Alabama. So we're keeping our eyes on this natty. Alabama up big. Alabama zoned it all night. Mac Jones has gone off. Smith went off. 3 touchdowns, then got injured at the beginning of the third quarter. So he left with the hand injury. That was it for him. And Harris has had a big game. And Alabama just basically trying to finish it off. Buckeyes with the ball deep in Alabama's end, but down big, 52-24. All right, so we talked today on Coast to Coast about a lot of things happening in the NFL. And one of them is the Peterson firing in Philadelphia. The Eagles finally got rid of Peterson after a Super Bowl win and 3 playoff appearances. But this year was a mess. 4 wins, a lot of blame, a lot of talk about him benching Hurts and you know, in their last game against Washington and going with Nate Sudfeld. It was embarrassing. I think he lost the players there. And then he was going to meet with the owner, Lurie, and he did. And then he wanted to see the direction of the team. He wanted, I think, more control over the assistants and who was going to be assistants and everything else. And Lurie, at one level or another, decided he was not going to have it, and he fired him. And that's the end of Peterson. So Lurie, I don't know. I guess he's here talking about he didn't deserve to be fired. Well, then why the hell did you fire him? Let's listen to Lurie.
It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. Very few people probably after success deserve to lose their job. This is much more about the evaluation of whether the Eagles moving forward, our best option is to have a new coach. And that's really, really what it's about. It's not about, did Doug deserve to be let go? No, he did not deserve to be let go. That's not where I'm coming from, and that's not the bar in the evaluation process.
Okay, that's just not making any sense to me whatsoever for the most part, if that made any sense to you. I just don't understand it. Listen, he did not deserve to be fired, but this was about, you know, from what I'm hearing, it's about coaching staff decisions and the plan moving forward for the organization, in essence, right? So who's going to be on that staff and where they're headed? And so I guess, you know, in my view, when you go to, you know, you win a Super Bowl and you go to 3 playoff appearances in the 5 years, I got a hard time believing you should be fired. I mean, it's that simple. It's amazing to me. We've seen it before. Remember when, like, Schottenheimer won 14 games or something in Kansas City, they still fired him or whatever, or San Diego, whatever the hell it was. All I know is, do you really think that guy should have been fired? I mean, I said on Coast to Coast last week, I think he's going to get fired because the players don't like him. That he's lost the locker room and that they don't respect him. And when he did the benching of Hurts for Sudfeld, that really threw that wrench into that relationship with the veterans and staff and players. None of them could understand what he was doing. And then when he went out and he lied about it, like, there's no doubt. He's like, I wanted to give him some snaps, you know, my ass, okay? There was no reason on the face of the earth to give that guy snaps at that point of the game. They could have won that game, but this was about getting the number six pick, obviously, and not the nine. But I don't think that there's much of a difference. I mean, a little bit I'll give you, but nothing glaring, nothing just gigantically different from a six to a nine. Fair enough, you could trade it, you could buy it, you could use it, you could do whatever you want with it. But the bottom line is, it seemed like that's what he was doing, and thus he lost the play. Players. He lost the Eagles. None of the players believed him anymore. And what I was hearing was all season long, what I heard was that there's players that just can't stand him. And no one ever wants to acknowledge that. It was the same thing I said in Houston, that they couldn't stand O'Brien. By the way, O'Brien, it's been reported tonight, he's getting that Sarkisian job at Alabama, Moff. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for Saban moving forward, Bill O'Brien. That's what I'm hearing tonight. So he's going to get that job and go back to college. I would have thought, to be honest with you, now that's a really good job, being the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Look what it got Sarkisian. He got the Texas job out of it. Look what it got Lane Kiffin. You know, look where he is now. He went, like, FAU to, you know, Ole Miss. So I think that job has got a lineage of success for whoever has it, and Bill O'Brien's going to get it. But I thought, you know, I didn't think Bill O'Brien was getting an NFL head coaching job right off the jump off of losing his job. But I did think that he would get a college football job at a high level, you know, school. I thought he could have got that because he had always done well in college, Penn State and the like. So, look, if that's true that he's going to get the job for Saban, that's a good job, whatever. But same thing, I think that there was a lot of players, and I stand by what I said down there in Houston, that they didn't like him. And at some point or another, when all your players don't like the coach, fair enough, some people can do that. Like, I think a lot back in the day, they didn't like Ditka, but they really liked Buddy Ryan. That's who they love. The players love Buddy Ryan. That defense loved Buddy Ryan. I think it drove Ditka nuts, the relationship that Buddy Ryan had with his players. But Ditka was the taskmaster. He was the evil witch. Nobody wanted to deal with him. He was screaming and yelling at everybody all day. I don't think Peterson was screaming and yelling at people. I think that there was, you know, he called the shots. If he didn't like it, so be it. He was going to do whatever he wanted with the last situation with Sudfeld, whatever. But it was going on long before that, all season long, and this miserable year they had with four wins, and that East was a mess. Every team in there was terrible. They really were, all of them, including Washington. They were terrible, too. On fourth and goal, Ohio State fails. Fields throws it through his receiver's hands in the end zone, and they'll turn it over to Alabama at around the 6-yard line, and it'll be tied ball going the other way. So their chance to cut into that gigantic lead at 52-24 does not happen, and they're going to come away with nothing. And so that'll be that. So anyway, Peterson gets fired. Now, there's some talk, obviously, today. There was a lot of rumors going around that he was going to end up with the Jets. And Mafia is a Jets fan. I think today, initially, when I told you that he was possibly going to the Jets, you wanted no part of that. You just were like, I don't want another coach that just got fired, and you brought up Gase. Well, I'll give you that, but he's no Gase, a guy that wins a Super Bowl and goes to all those playoff games that he went to over the last, you know, in the 5 years he went, what, three times and won a Super Bowl in his second year. You can say whatever you want. He beat Belichick. He beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Jets haven't had a coach like that.
No, they haven't. But, I mean, from what you said, you know, right there, the thing for me is the guy lost the locker room. So if you have a guy that's going to have problems with players, you know, we just had that. Again, I know it's the Peterson won a Super Bowl, Gase didn't. But the last thing we need is another guy who might lose the locker room, might have issues with players. We have, you know, kind of a whacked out culture right there right now. You need someone who's going to come in there, I think, and have them be on board right away. I don't know if everyone that's going to be there is going to be on board with this guy after what he just did in Philadelphia.
How many guys are going to be on that team next year from that crappy team that they put out this year? And remember the relationship that he had with Joe Douglas in Philly. He won the Super Bowl with him. So yeah, Joe thing. Douglas runs the Jets. Like, there's got to be some kind of phone call made or meeting made between those two because of their past and their history and their success together. I mean, that's pretty obvious, don't you think?
Yeah, it is an obvious connection right there. But I mean, I want Bieniemy. I want Salah. I want one of those two guys. And if you can't get them, okay, maybe you go with him. But just for once, I want to be the team that gets the one that people want instead of going for the one that's left over.
So you want Eric Bieniemy or Salah, the Niners defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I won't be enemy hard, but I know Salah, everyone's talking about how great Salah is too. So I'll take him as well. Or, you know, maybe we steal the OC from the Bills and take him to kind of hurt them a little bit and still get something out of it. I feel like, you know, that's going to the scrap heap again, which is always what the Jets have to do.
So you'd rather hire these top-level assistants than a guy that's won a Super Bowl in the last few years?
Yeah, because, I mean, he still had a lot of talent on the team. I know there were injuries and stuff, but he still had some players there, and in the worst division, he couldn't win it. I want someone who showed me that they can win. Those guys are winning on winning teams right now. I want them.
Fair enough, but, I mean, you're ignoring the fact that the guy went to the playoffs 3 out of the 5 years and won a Super Bowl. That's amazing to me. Like, you just don't respect what the guy's done at all over three guys that have never done anything but stood on a sideline with a big-name coach.
To any employers listening, we have a question. Paycom wants to know, are your employees spending their time being productive, or are they wasting that time on things they shouldn't have to do? For example, are they having to chase someone down to approve a vacation request? Are they forced to manage expense reports manually by saving their receipts, copying those receipts, and then stapling them to a piece of paper to add to a pile on their supervisor's desk? When they went through open enrollment recently, did they have to deal with a clunky benefits process? Did they even understand the benefits you offered? In other words, Paycom wants to know, why does your HR tech make employees work to work? That doesn't make sense. Paycom's single HR and payroll software can help make the best use of everyone's time by transforming slow, inefficient steps into HR processes so simple your business can move forward fast. Learn more at paycom.com. That's paycom.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. Bon appétit. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So we move on. It's still 52-24, 5 minutes left. Ohio State's got the ball right around midfield, 3rd and 15. He's going to get hit from behind. He threw the pass away, incomplete. It's 4th and 15 now. He's laying on the ground. Fields wondering, how long is this night going to last? The worst night of his life. So we go back to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, he says he recommended Eric Bieniemy to Watson. Of course, Watson's livid at everything that's happened in Houston. There's been talk of Deshaun wanting to be traded to Miami for Tua, which is crazy, right? Like, do you really think that that flip's going to happen, that they're going to trade Deshaun Watson for Tua Tagovailoa? Remember, I think Tua did a solid job down in Miami. But Watson is a different level altogether. He led the league this year in yards on a crappy team. He's amazing. But here's Mahomes talking about Bieniemy and what he thinks of him and everything else, and that he had recommended him to Watson. This is from KCSP 610 AM Sports Radio.
What's your relationship like with Deshaun Watson? What kind of word did you put in for Bieniemy to try to help get him the job in Houston?
Yeah, for me, I mean, it was just, I've known Deshaun for a while now, and we just talked about Coach Bieniemy, but it wasn't me trying to get him a job or anything like that. I just told him who Coach Bieniemy is. And what type of man he is, what type of coach he is, and I think that handles itself. And I think you'll see that as we go on this run here, and then as he gets a job over these next few weeks, months, whatever it is, the type of man he is will carry him to where he needs to be at. And I think that's going to put him in the best situation possible at the end of the day.
Well, that was Patrick Mahomes. Houston is not the only team that did not interview Bieniemy. Here we go again with the whole race card with coaching hires in the NFL. I don't even want to go there. I think without a doubt, Bieniemy is going to get a job. There's a lot of job openings, and there's a lot of GM and coaching openings, and he's getting one of them. So guaranteed that, one way or the other. And Mafia obviously wants him to be the Jets coach, so he hasn't gotten around to every single interview for sure, because the Chiefs are still playing and they got a game this week against Cleveland. He's got to worry about that right now. So you're going to get that whole rhetoric from coaches. You know, when this is over, I'll go do my interviews and whatever. Until then, you're not going to see it. You're going to see all these other guys that aren't playing, that aren't in the playoffs, that aren't going to get, like this Arthur Smith guy. He's going to get interviews now that the Titans are done, right? From what I'm hearing, every single team that has an opening is going to interview Arthur Smith. Well, of course, he's white, right? They got to get those interviews in. That's a surefire happening. But it is what it is. Bieniemy's getting a job. There's not one, inkling of negativity toward from me thinking he's not getting a job. It's his turn, right? He's like been, in my view, the hottest commodity in coaching in the NFL for the next big gig. He's going to get it. So I think Salah's going to get it. So Bryce Young's coming in the game. Mac Jones is limping off. He was never the same after he took that shot to his shin. And now he's getting just congratulated by Saban and everybody else. 3 and change left in this puppy, 52-24. He threw for 464 and 5 touchdowns, no picks, a championship natty game record. All right, let's go back to Summit of Pain Day, Skinny. Ravens, Coach John Harbaugh, didn't have a problem with his players after their win in Smashville. All the Ravens started dancing at the midfield Titans logo. Here's Harbaugh.
The fact that the guys, I just think it's a very connected team. It's a team that really cares about one another. They have a real strong faith, and faith is the most powerful thing there is. There's great power in faith and belief and trust. And these guys have that, so if that's part of it, then that's part of it, People, we all make our choices and we all live with our choices and stand by them. So am I upset? Are you asking me if I'm upset about it? No, I'm not upset about it. I'm looking at the Bills right now and we're moving forward. And I love our guys' heart. I love their energy. I love their spirit. I love what they're all about. I love their character. So that's the premise and the principle that I understand about these guys. So that's what we're going with.
All right, he got a little soft for me there. I couldn't hear it that great, but I heard what he's saying. He's worried about not worried about dancing on logos. They're worried about what's in front of them, and what's in front of them now is the Buffalo Bills, and that's going to be a huge game. Right now, what I saw it as late tonight on FanDuel, it's the Bills minus 1.5, with that game in the B-low on Saturday against the Ravens. And it's going to be a great game. Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson, and that's all there is to it. Minute and a half now, Alabama with the ball. Another first down, 52-24, kicking Ohio State's teeth in. You know, that's the only way you can look at this game. Let's stop being nice. Ohio State did nothing in this football game. 14-all was the only thing they did. When they scored to make it 14-all, they were in the game. They have never been in this game since. Not since 14-all. They started getting whacked. Stefanski, I don't know what he was doing in his house, but he wasn't watching the start of that game. His kids reacted upstairs, tipping him off to Pouncey snap over Roethlisberger's head that led to an immediate touchdown from the Browns defense and a 7-0 lead. Here's Stefanski, who didn't even coach in the game.
Keeled and calm, but did you have emotion when you were watching the game when the snap went over Ben's head to begin? Did you yell? I mean, what was that like?
You know, the funny part about that is I'm in the basement isolating from my family, and I guess my feed, for whatever reason, I must have hit pause or something, was about 45 seconds behind. So I heard my kids going crazy upstairs. So I had an inkling something good was going to happen on that first play.
Now he'll have a chance to, it would appear to me, coach the Browns against the Chiefs on Sunday at Arrowhead. So he should be fine by then, right? He missed this game. Now he's going to be in isolation, in quarantine, whatever. But I would think midweek he's done with that. And certainly by walkthroughs and everything else, they'll be good to go. They are literally carrying Saban off the field right now, his football team. His linemen picked him up on his shoulders. And it's all over but the shouting. 52-24, Alabama smacks Ohio State across both cheeks. You have been done, sir. Oh, my God, did they spank them. Like, what is that about? Are we going to hear all the Ohio State fans now? What are we going to hear from them other than nothing? What's there to say? I think we do have more Kevin Stefanski. He says the Browns have as good a chance as anyone to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of eight teams. Not a math major, but I like, you know, we'll take those chances. And that's what the guys understand. This is the fun part about the playoffs. Yeah, every game gets bigger and bigger, and the challenge gets bigger and bigger. And got a big challenge this week playing the Super Bowl champs.
You got that right, Coach. They're getting 10 in that game. Kansas City favored by double digits. Now, the big game Saturday is that Bills-Ravens. We heard from Harbaugh. Let's hear from Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills. They'll take a great effort by his team to try and keep Lamar Jackson in check on Saturday night.
You got to play good team defense, whether, you know, against their pass game, their run game. He's a big part of their run game, the loose plays that he creates. You know, so it's got to be good team defense.
Yeah, I mean, if this guy, Lamar Jackson, does what he did to the Titans, that buck 76 and buck 36, you know, air and ground, if he has a game like that, the Ravens will win that game. If he goes off like that, believe me, you, the Bills are going to have their problems. Now, I do believe in Josh Allen. I do think the Bills' passing game is great. One of the problems I have with that whole concept of just throwing the whole game is obviously, did you see what the Ravens did to the Titans? A, Henry did jack. B, Tannehill did jack. C, they pushed him around. I mean, the Ravens defense, after 10-0, the Titans never did another thing the rest of the game. Total domination. I thought, frankly, that the Ravens' defense was better than the Rams' defense. Everybody was talking about Donald and Ramsey and the Rams and what they did to Seattle. And grant you, I thought they did a fantastic job on Russell Wilson and shutting down the Seahawks. And once you took Russell Wilson out of the game, they were dead. But I thought the Ravens were more impressive defensively for me the entire game. What they did to Henry was embarrassing because Henry's a badass, 2,000 yards. The year before that, 1,540 yards. The guy's been unbelievable stepping on people. But not that Baltimore defense. They literally just turned him off like hot water. Boom, you're done. And then really they couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't move the ball. They never got close. I didn't think they had chances. And it's because of that Raven defense, just total domination. If they go up there and get Josh Allen and throw him around on the ground, Buffalo can't run the ball. Buffalo throws the ball. That's it. It's all about Josh Allen running and throwing. There is no other player running the ball. They've already lost Moss. He's injured. He's done. He got hurt on Saturday against the Colts, so forget about that. And I just think, you know, it really comes down to the Ravens' defense. If they play the same way they did in Smashville in Buffalo, the Bills are going to have problems. And you go back to the Chiefs-Browns game, Kareem Hunt going against the Chiefs. They released him after he was caught on tape. Remember, kicking a woman. You remember that? Chiefs Andy Reid said he's happy things are going well for Hunt. And obviously, I think they've moved on from all of that. But the question is, can that Kansas City defense stop that running attack? Because they're getting 10 points. And as a bettor, do you think that the Browns are going to be able to score, going to be able to move the ball? And are they, you know, they have the worst defense in the NFL. And... but they didn't look like it. I don't even know. I mean, they were up so big on the Steelers. The Steelers came all the way back. They lost 48-37, but they still won the game. But I'm not impressed with the Browns' defense in any capacity. How is that porous defense going to stop Patrick Mahomes is the question. But let's listen here first to the Chiefs coach, Andy Reid.
Listen, I like Kareem. I'm glad things are going well for him. I mean, I know he missed, you know, he knows a lot of the guys who were on that team last year and felt bad about not being a part of that. So listen, I get it. I get all that, but most of all, I'm happy for him that things are going in the right direction for him. And he's on a good football team. They're welcome.
Look, I mean, the bottom line is how are they going to stop Patrick Mahomes? I think the Chiefs defense is going to have some problem with that Browns running game. I really do.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers, like the actress Kristen Bell.
And the moment I said, you know what, I have a thing, and it's a quirky, weird, fun thing that can be snarky, and I love doing it. I do it pretty well. Why not lean into it? And that is when I felt like I started becoming happier.
Music legend Mick Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Mac was always about change. So that you were accepted for who you were.
Former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean.
I took the call and this quavering voice in the other end of the phone says, I regret to inform you that the governor has died of a heart attack and you're the governor. That was the end of my medical practice.
And best-selling author Isabel Wilkerson.
People would come up to me of all different backgrounds and would say to me, I had no idea that this happened in our country.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. So that's six national championships for Saban at Alabama. 09, 11, 12, 15, 17, and here in 2021. So that's crazy. That's just absolutely crazy. And he won at LSU as well. So think about it. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, he's the best. Boom. And they kicked Ohio State's ass. I don't want to hear about it anymore that Ohio State is all of that. They got run over like everybody else does. You know, like I said, Alabama, you know, kicked their ass. Notre Dame covered the 19.5. I thought Notre Dame looked terrible, but they covered. And Ohio State couldn't even sniff a cover. They got whacked so bad. 52-24. When you get doubled up, you're just toast. I don't care what anybody says. What did they do in that game tonight? After 14 all, they never did it. Then they arrested a night. So, good night, Irene. That was total domination. And that was not a good game. That was just watching Alabama run up and down the field. Smith scored 3 TDs. Harris have a couple of TDs. Bolden had a TD. Everybody had a TD. I mean, who didn't have a TD? I mean, Mac Jones had the game of a lifetime. He almost threw for 500 yards. The guy threw for 5 touchdowns, went off, no picks. And then people say he's not going to be good at the next level. He won't even get considered. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. By the way, that Raptors lead is 101-92 on the Blazers with 7 minutes left. And the Kings are up 6 on the Pacers with just under 8 minutes left. Hornets beat the Knicks. Grizzlies by 10 over the Cavs. Bucks blew out the Magic. Wizards beat the Suns with no Westbrook. And the Hawks 112-94 over the Sixers. So I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Have a good night, everybody.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcasts? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Stafford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
What's more enjoyable than everything fun and exciting from across the world of BuzzFeed?
Yes, if you've ever loved a video from Tasty, Cocoa Butter, Paro-like, Nifty, Goodful, or BuzzFeed Celeb, we'll have something for you on BuzzFeed Daily.
And don't forget about great interviews that break down all the wait, what, from the internet and beyond.
Whether it's the world's preeminent astrologist, the star of your favorite streaming show, or maybe even the person behind that TikTok, you know the one. If they're making you smile, we're talking to them.
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.